where things almost make sense. And most everything is interesting and mildly unique. It's a place that feels somewhat familiar and has the suspicious comfort of a loving semi-omnipresence. You are on the outskirts of Lootopia. Sit back and relax, or tense up and march around. Please welcome your host of Lootopia, Lou Angel Wolf.
Oh, it's so good to hear my name again. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Lootopia podcast. I'm Lou Angel Wolf, and we got special guests, and actually, it's just the OGs today. All right, we're going to rock out. That's the beat that everything starts on. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Lootopia. I'm Lou Angel Wolf. To my immediate right, the lovely and talented Michael Merberg.
Hey, Lou, good to be back.
Good to see you. And right over there pushing the buttons, it's Chris Gorgeous.
Buttons, buttons, everywhere buttons.
Yes. How many people want my buttons? And
I ain't going to say anything about the zippers.
Didn't I see you at a party last night on my zipper? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Lootopia podcast, and we talk about health, humor, and well-being, and today's no different. The thread of today's show, although we have a lot of catching up to do, we're going to try to maintain the thread of how you deal with rudeness, or how you deal with rude people.
I met one of those people this weekend.
Did you?
Yep.
Yeah, you were. I saw your Facebook.
Yeah.
Thing. What happened?
He went crazy in traffic. It's just traffic. People are crazy in traffic now. Like they get like violent and crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
What,
I was.
What city were you in?
I was on our way to a gig in Punta Gorda. I had a lovely time down there with Gordon Myers doing a show with Michael Murillo.
Oh, he's a funny guy.
Yeah, we had a good show, but we weren't even out of our own town yet. It happened like 5 minutes down the road on 19.
In Clearwater.
Yeah. Driving in the right-hand lane, doing about, 55, 60 in the right-hand lane.
Yeah.
Talking to Mike, just kind of easing up. I don't like to race. And this guy was right on my butt in a older, beat-up kind of BMW. And I could see he was getting tense behind me. Like, you know, what are you doing? And I'm like, and he's like right on my butt. So I thought, I'm going to let this guy go around me. So I made a left-hand lane change, moved to the left middle lane.
Yeah.
He decided to do the same thing at the same time. Like, he was going to zip around me.
Okay.
And I think he thought I did that on purpose. It was completely coincidental. I'm like, right. I'm just getting out of this guy's way. And then he flipped out, dude. And he, like, started screaming at me from the left side. And then he slowed down and went behind me and got around to Michael's side, started screaming at him. And then I'm like, oh, my God. And then he kind of went behind the car and then came to my side again and then went to Michael's side. And then he jerked the wheel, so his car lunged at my car. Hmm. And I'm like, oh, my God, this dude's insane, man. Crazy people.
So what'd you do?
What can you do?
Let him go ahead?
Well, no. He was at that point, he freaked out, and then he got off and went down on the frontage road and was still screaming at us, by the way, on the frontage road. We're on the overpass. Michael's like, he's going to get back on the highway. I'm like, if he does get back on the highway, then I'm going to put my gun on my dashboard. I mean, what else? I don't know what else you can do. I'm not going to point a gun at him or anything, but
Chris
at the same
has
time.
Got a gun.
Well, no, what do you do? The guy's lunging his car at me. I mean, at one point, like, when people get mad like that, I just wave like I'm happy at them. Like, hi. Right. And that's, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, hi, person. You're, right. You know. But when they start to use their car, you know.
It's a big 4,000-pound weapon, man.
Yeah. This isn't Fast and Furious, people. You can't hip check a car because you're pissed off.
Really.
You can't pit maneuver me on the middle of 19 because I wasn't going fast enough for you. And that's really what that was about. I wasn't going fast enough.
Well, you know, I think that happens to me, too, because I'm a real mellow driver, and I drive all day.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I observe the speed limit for the most part, and you know, I'm not a speeder.
And here's the thing. You drive so much, you've accepted how traffic works.
Yes. I'm at one with the flow.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not like, look, I'm not going to get there at the speed of light. So let's just accept that.
Sure. And the thing I always notice is people that make all those jerky moves, they make five jerky moves and they wound up 18 feet in front of you. That's it.
Right.
At the same light up there.
Exactly.
You both end up at the same light.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. That's a huge level of rudeness right there,
and with lethal consequences.
Absolutely, sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And a lot of people, like, you know, a lot of people misconstrue what's happening out there. A lot of people don't know that I'm very busy and I'm just checking my date book and making sure I'm going to the right address and You know, they think I'm like purposefully blocking their path. You know, hey man, I'm in a correct lane. I'm not in the fast lane going 45.
And you actually have the right of way, and driving is a privilege. And you know, if you're privileged to be on the road and the guy in front of you got the right of way, well then shut the fuck up and follow. For Christ's sake. Jesus Christ.
Or go around him. And again, I made the lane change to let him go by because apparently he wasn't going to go in the other two lanes. And it was a coincidence that he made the same decision. At that point, he's like, I'm going to go around this dude. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, look, people make mistakes. I don't lay on my horn. People make unless they're being, you know, obviously, like, stupid.
There is something. You know what? Three times in my life, that's why I mention this from time to time. Three times in my life, I've had people road raging at me. Okay? You know what the weirdest part is? Three different times. The same kind of vehicle.
Really?
Black Dodge pickup truck. Black Dodge pickup truck. All three times with the road rage.
How do you explain mine then? This guy had ear spacers and he sleeved, tatted sleeve. And yeah, he was.
He had gauges in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I don't know what his deal was.
Well, he might have been, you know.
Who knows?
He might have been up on something.
Well, Murillo said to me, he goes, I think he had a couple incidents before he ran into you, and I'm guessing he's going to have a couple more before he gets to where he's going.
the crack house.
Jeez. I know. Well, yeah, if we get all amped up on drugs, you shouldn't be driving.
Yeah.
But all three times, Black Dodge pickup truck. And the last one was probably about 9 months ago. On Brian Derry Road, I had a guy come over that overpass, and I was in the right lane doing, you know, it's 55. I think I was doing 50. But, you know, I'm checking an address because I got a turn up here somewhere. And this guy came barreling down on me, man, and like 1 inch off my back bumper. And I drive, you know, it's the window van, the window wagon, right. You know. So, and he just, and like, lit, you know, hitting the gas and rah.
Well, that is the most dangerous place on the highway to be going fast is coming over an overpass because you cannot see over that hill.
Yep.
And if you're not slowing down for it and there's a car just on the other side 15 feet down, you're going to kill somebody.
Sure, exactly. So I went, you know, I was already in the slow lane, so I really didn't know what to do. So I sped up a little bit, and then he sped up and got... He like passed me and he's like flipping me off and yelling at me. And all of a sudden, I saw a road to turn on. So I just looked in my right view mirror, just made a quick exit away from the whole situation. Right. It was my third encounter with Black Dodge pickup truck.
I don't think I've ever flipped off anybody in traffic. You know what I mean? Like, I've never been that pissed. I'm like, I'm going to flip my, I just never done that. It takes a certain person to, that's the way you express yourself. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you, you guys want to hear a true story about that?
You flip off people a lot?
Probably one of the better flip off stories that you'll ever hear. Okay.
Lou's got a story for everything.
I'm 16 years old. I'm in the front yard with my dad. We're working on his Chevy pickup truck. Okay. And he agrees to give us all a ride over to our friend's house that has a pool. And he's got a 62 Chevy 3/4 ton with a hot 350 in it, granny low 4-speed, you know, 477 Hotchkiss gears. Yeah, anyway. So we back out of our driveway on Pinehurst Road in Dunedin, and this car full of students in a Saab 99, ooh, a 1964 Saab 99. Okay,
which 64 Saab?
A 64 Saab 99, which is a three-cylinder, like, two-stroke.
It's a loser mobile.
It is. Okay, but they sounded cool, and they revved up to like 13,000 RPMs. So anyway, as my dad sticks the ass end of the truck out, maybe a little too far. Okay, and the guy has to make an evasive maneuver around him. Well, when he does, he flips off my old man. Now, my old man is 6'6", 280 pounds. He's a large freaking human being. He's bigger than you, Mike. And maybe even a little bigger.
Taller, yeah.
A little bigger. So anyway, my old man sees red. Just literally just everything changed. We weren't going to the guy's house in the pool anymore. We're all sitting in the back of the truck. The old man whips the truck around, boils the tires out of the driveway, and he's chasing this Saab 99 through the neighborhoods. Okay? And my dad just like, it just infuriated him that somebody flipped him off. Of course, this is 1975, 76.
Yeah, when flipping somebody off really meant something.
Yeah, it was a real statement, you know. And this guy makes, he could really drive that little Saab too. And he makes it through this neighborhood and darts the car into his house. I think he ran into something in the garage when he parked, and they all ran out of the car. And my dad drives right up on this guy's yard. Like, didn't use the driveway.
With the kids in the car, mind you.
With four of us in the back in our swimsuits and freaking rubber ducks and shit.
Oh, my God.
And he gets out of the car, and he goes to the front door, and he's pounding on the front door. And he goes, "Where's that kid driving that red car? Where's that Saab guy?" And the guy's dad comes out, and he's just a little fucking man, you know. He's going, "What's going on? What's going on?" He goes, "Your son." He goes, "He gave me the finger. You know what that means? That means fuck you. You want to fuck me?" And the guy's like, "Whoa, holy shit!" You know, he's going, "No, no, sir, I'm so sorry. I don't. You know, everybody's just fucking babbling, melting into butter because Lou road rage Lou over here is losing his freaking mind." And finally, he
good
just,
for him though.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And, except for the kid part, having you with him. That wasn't really smart.
And don't forget, this is 1975, so my dad was born in 1941, so yeah. 51, 61, 30, 35, 36 years old.
Yeah.
Fucking full-grown man. And but still, you know.
An angry man in his 30s.
I know. And
who doesn't, he's like, "I will take care of business with the whole family in the car. I don't even care." Before we get to Pizza Hut, we're going to take care of this business right now.
Yeah. Young enough to beat the shit out of you and old enough not being afraid to die.
and bring some people with you.
Yeah, exactly. And so and he backs up out of the guy's yard and, of course, couldn't resist spinning the tires a little bit, chewing up his sod. Okay.
So, did he seriously?
Oh, yep.
That's a dick move.
Oops. It wasn't. Sorry, sir.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, flips him off. What do you think of that?
I got my middle finger stuck on the gear shift.
So anyway, he backs out, and we're driving down the road at like a normal speed, and he yells out the cab of the truck. He goes, "All right, where's this freaking pool party at?" And we'd been flying around the bed like a fucking loose tomato out of a grocery bag.
Yeah, were there even seatbelts then?
No, we were four of us sitting in the bed of the truck, and he's doing all these
in the bed of the truck. Yeah. That's right, it was a truck.
We're doing all these evasive maneuvers back there.
God Almighty!
Oh, we could have died. We could have so died.
Back in the Mexican section.
Yeah, exactly.
The rumble seat.
It was a rumble seat.
You remember those? Remember those Subaru Brats that had those two rumble seats in the back?
Yeah,
with the metal handles that you hold on to.
Sure.
Didn't that make you feel safe holding onto the the skiing poles that they put into the bed?
Subaru.
Of the truck?
Yeah. Who else could build you a better lawsuit?
Yeah. Especially when there's like a thunderstorm going on, and you're stuck back there.
Oh, I know, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up old school with the station wagon and the rumble seat. Mm-hmm. So when the window was down and you were at a light, it was just exhaust fumes, and it was really awful.
And you were facing the other way.
Yeah, I hated it.
Yeah. I remember one time being in the back of the wagon going through the mountains of North Carolina. And when you can't see where you're going but shit's going by you, it makes you dizzy and nauseous.
Especially with the gas fumes.
And the gas fumes. And my dad was a car salesman at Walker Ford at that time. And it was a big 76 Ford Country Squire wagon, grain paneling, and a 460, and, you know. Right.
Last of its kind.
Yes. So we all stopped at Hardee's and then finished up the trip. And it was a real, real windy road up to the campground. And, oh, my God, I got to the campground. The second I got out of the car, I just ran to the bushes and lost all that Hardee's.
Ooh.
And I didn't eat at Hardee's for decades.
Isn't it funny how food will do that to you? Yeah. I threw up at a picnic one time. I had too much watermelon. Uh-huh. Never touched it since. Don't like
really?
It.
Still?
Nope.
Wow.
Watermelon toxicity.
Dude, I pigged out, and I just got so sick, man. And I was like, yeah, that's the end of that.
Huh. Yeah. Well, anyway, well, folks, we are way off track.
Rudeness.
We don't mean to be rude. Let's stay on topic.
What do you think? You think people are rude in, like, shopping areas? Have you noticed that? I notice people really don't give too many, like, the people around them much consideration in the malls and in the shopping.
Yeah. It's to be expected at Walmart and Target. You know, you can't even complain about it. It's so commonplace.
Target's not too bad.
No, they're a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little better.
Walmart, yeah.
Walmart, it's with the Walmart and Big Lots. That's what I meant to say.
Oh, Big Lots.
Big Lots, you're going to get some rude folks.
Dollar Tree.
It was funny. One time I was embarrassed to tell somebody I was at Dollar Tree, and they consoled me. They go, "Hey, man, everybody's got to go to Dollar Tree every once in a while."
I don't. I go to Walmart frequently. I don't wear the clothing line that they have there. You know what I mean? I don't buy the Wranglers
from the Steve Baird collection.
No, I have one of those shirts, but I got it from somewhere else. But I go there for household items and electronics and movies and toys. I mean, they got cool. I just don't wear the clothes from there.
From Walmart?
No. Or shoes. I would never buy a pair of shoes from Walmart. No. Oh, I did once because I left my shoes. I had to buy a pair of shoes at Walmart to go on stage. No, I left them here. I left my whole suitcase here and went to a gig. I got halfway to the gig. I'm like, holy crap, I got to go to Walmart.
Yeah. It is a salvation at times.
I'm telling you.
And if you like to park your RV for free.
And they're the cultural centers of most of the Midwest.
Yeah.
I just find that when people are gathered together shopping, especially at Christmas time, I told you when I went to pick up that bed at Sears, this one woman was running around. She was being nasty to everybody and just shoving her way into the line. And then when somebody said something, she flipped out. That's what I notice about rude people. When you call them on the fact that they're being rude, they get angry with you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how dare you point out what I just did?
it's like throwing gasoline on a fire, telling a rude person that they're being rude.
Yeah, what do you,
you know?
Why? But for me, if I was being rude and somebody said that to me and you were really being rude, I would be like embarrassed and apologetic.
Oh, yeah.
Not, hey, what the hell are you talking about? Are you crazy? It's like, no, obviously, you're being a douche.
Well, I was driving the other day. Actually, I drive every day, but, I'm driving and there was a crazy person driving through, and the person I'm with, I made this statement. I said, you know, God, what's wrong with that person? And she goes, you know, people driving like that, I give them the benefit of the doubt because you never know if they're on their way to the hospital to see a loved one die. So
yes.
Just kind of let it go.
Yep. That is good. And I find myself as I get older thinking that in advance, going, well, yeah, you don't know what kind of day this guy had.
Right.
You know, you don't know what's going on.
But are you rude when you have bad days, Lou?
I can be a smidge terse.
That's, what do you have to wear a special hat for that?
it's like being a tad testy.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir. I'm a bit terse this afternoon. Mike, do you get rude?
I try not to, although I did have an episode this week.
Oh.
Yeah. I get a call on my telephone, and there's a guy with an English, Indian English accent. You know, I didn't recognize the number, and he tells me he's from the State Department. He wants to get some information about my health care. And I was like, you know, all of a sudden I realized, State Department, no, that's bullshit. So we're going to play along with this a little bit. And he starts asking me questions and, you know, you get the easy stuff to, you know, are you Norman Merberg and is your birth date this and is your doctor this? And, you know, did you see are you with Blue Cross, Blue Shield, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, starts asking me stuff like, do you take vitamin A or vitamin C? I'm like going, wait a minute, what are you talking about? I take vitamin A and vitamin C. And then he didn't get the joke. And then and then he goes to the next one. He says, well, do you have toe fungus? I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I haven't been able to diagnose myself. That's why I go to doctors. And he goes, well, what's the matter? You don't know your own body? And I basically lost it at this point. I was like, here you are calling from a call center from Hyderabad, India. India, and you're asking me questions about my own body. Fungus. I was like, yeah, my toe fungus. This is rude. And by the way, I already know this is... So I ran out of words to say. And all I had left was, fuck you. Have a nice day. And then I hung up.
Just close with the black ace. Just throw the black ace down.
Does that qualify as terse?
And testy.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's... Well, like, I had a lady just... some of those telemarketers are just great. They just launch out of the... You know, they won't let you get in a word in till they get their whole spiel out. And I'm like, ma'am, I'm working. That's all I said. I'm working. Yeah,
no time right now for this. Thought it was something important. It is not. Goodbye.
Well, you know, when they call me, they ask for Norman, you know. And all of a sudden, all my friends know me as Mike, you know.
Sure.
You know. So they go, is Norman there? And, you know, and every now and then I'll joke with him. I'll say, like, no, I'm sorry. Norman died last week. We're looking for a funeral home. No, could you give us some information on where we can bury him? It shuts him right up. It's like, oh, sorry. Never mind.
But... One place where you don't want to be rude, and I'm a nice restaurant client. I, you know, when I get a waiter or a waitress, I mean, they really got to be drippy for me to be, you know, calcitrant with them.
I don't think it's ever happened to me either. I don't think I've ever been rude to a waitress ever.
Well, the smart thing is to not be. For one, that'll keep spit out of your food,
right?
And that's probably my biggest fear.
Or worse,
yeah. Not that I, you know.
Yeah, we've all seen Fight Club. Don't need that.
Yeah. And, but I have had some rude waitresses. And I think what's also blending here in today's society is rudeness is blending with incompetence and indifference. So it's kind of like, it's really kind of morphing into a very, very ugly thing. And I do notice that you can get it all in one person sometimes. You can get incompetence, indifference, and rudeness.
Yeah, and it's funny how the government will never let those people go.
They're not all in the government. I've met a few at, like, Wendy's, but yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, your government agents. And I really don't, and I'm very grateful for the Pinellas County Sheriff that let me go off of a speeding ticket yesterday. Thank you, sir, Officer Friendly, whoever you are. I was driving to an appointment, and the lady called, and she goes, hey, I don't have a lot of time, so can you kind of hurry up? And I'm like, yeah. So
let me hit the nitrous.
Yeah. So literally, I accelerated to 42 in a 30 right in front of the cop. So I got yanked. And, you know, luckily I had my driver's license and my insurance card and my registration all right there. So
it was like, silly window man, go on your way.
Yeah. I said, sir, I'm really sorry. I got a call from a customer who wanted me to hurry up and get there. So I hit the gas. I said, I live around here. You know, I know it's 30. I'm sorry. I said, you know,
that worked.
Yeah. And he comes back. He goes, well, I'm going to give you a verbal warning. This time, he goes, but I see you've been speeding in our county before. And we let you go. And I went, well, because last year I got pulled over on Montclair Road doing 44 and a 30.
Oh, you did that yearly thing you do.
That's my annual 14-mile over the limit.
You anarchist.
Yeah, oh, I'm you can't stop me. I'm starting the shit, man.
That's great. He's like, what is it, February? Month to go. I'm going to speed.
I'm very, very thankful for him. But I also, the one thing, it's not rude. It's this air of condescension that they give you. Like, it's like, you know, they know you're going to be gone in seconds, but they almost want to like enforce upon you how much trouble they just saved you.
Right.
You know? And I always get this ticket would have been $242. And I went, yeah, thanks for not that. You know? I said, I appreciate it, sir. I said, I'll keep it down. He goes, I know. I've had safe driver on my license for 25 years.
You know? Oh, he knew.
Oh, I know he knew.
Mm-hmm. He knew everything.
But
about
he also knew I got pulled over on Montclair Road the other day. I just put new pipes on my truck, so I had to hear it.
Oh my God!
You know. So anyway, but anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Lutopia podcast. You can listen every week at lutopia.com. That's lutopia.com. You click on that page, you're going to find the Pacifist Riot. The Pacifist Riot, of course, is kind of our mellow festo, our little little spine that runs through this little body of work, and it's interesting. It's about the energy that we're trying to project through health and humor and well-being. We're trying to help. The show's helpful in a humorous way. And I thank all the people that listen every week. And I really can't, I don't know how to thank you enough. It's flattering. It warms my heart. I've had a personal huge week. I know Michael is back in town after a long vacation. But let me just finish up with the plug. You can also listen to Lutopia on the IRN Broadcast Network. That's IRNBroadcast.com. Went to Mike Peters' birthday celebration a couple Saturday nights ago, and that was a lot of fun. We went to Hamburger Mary's, which is the big drag show hamburger place. And good burgers, good food. Yeah, good food. And very talented men, gentlemen. They called themselves gentlemen, so... That's the nomenclature I shall use.
Yeah, strange thing about those cross-dressers is most of them are heterosexuals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's kind of odd, but you wouldn't expect that, but they are.
Yeah, they like girls.
Yeah.
And
God bless them for helping me write a joke.
they helped you write a joke?
Well, not them personally, the Hamburger Marys. I just talk about, on my show I say... I found a place where everybody can go, where there's no judgment, and you can have a great time. You know, anybody can go. Lou, you could go. I could go. Mike can go. Doesn't matter what you're into. And you can have a great time. And ladies know this to be a fact. You can go party down. They always play great music. If you want to have a good time, you go to a drag club. You go to a drag place.
Yeah.
And usually the audience is like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. And what's one around here? And now this place, Hamburger, they got a few different places.
Yeah.
And they would say Hamburger Mary's. And like, no, Walmart, 2 a.m. Go check that place out. And that joke kills every, it's a surefire thing. Yeah, it's great. No matter where I'm in my set, if I'm dying or whatever happens, I can throw that out.
Pull
there.
That out.
Hell yeah. Hamburger Mary. Thank you.
Hamburger Mary. And it was, the food was good.
I hear that. I saw videos of the show. We had some family members go. And they had a lot of fun.
Mike Peter was hilarious. He'd had a couple of beers and he was singing along and checking out the cleavage. So, but, you can also catch the show on Podomatic, YouTube, Facebook.
iTunes.
So it's out there, baby. I've had a huge week. We got Pamela all moved in, and we're having a lovely time. My new gal from Texas, and she's just wonderful and has a lovely, lovely energy that she shares in the home, and happy as can be.
It looks like the beast is getting domesticated.
Well, he's calming down a little bit, you know. You make new adjustments in your life, especially when you have the complete energy of somebody else in your presence, and you want to be thinking about them and how they're going to react. And it's nice. But she's a very, very agreeable, pliable, understanding person. And she's got a great wit, really funny. And we're kind of like little kids together in a lot of ways.
That's what it's all about.
It's a youthful happiness, and I love her. She's great.
Yeah, new horizons with another sky pilot.
Yes, and I hope this one. I'm settling in for the long winter snap. So, but that and Isaac, my son, is in Israel, and he's been doing his video blog on the Instamatic. Mm-hmm. So if you go to Isaac.Dieter, he's showing all his... He's been to Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and the Dead Sea, and so he's giving you all a little video blog of the whole thing. Mm. And he's having the time of his life. He just loves it. He says he's getting plenty of exercise. The food is awesome, you know, so he's digging it. And Michael, you were gone... I know you took quite an adventure. Where'd you start? I know you, the first week you were in the Carolinas.
Yeah, I started up out of Tampa at the end of May with the goal of getting back to my Princeton reunions.
Okay,
40th reunion, and conducting the first CE5. At the university. Of course, it was rather subversive. You know, we did it under cover of darkness over at the Fitz Randolph Observatory, and I was lucky enough to do it with our friend Hollis Polk and Costa Macrius and another fine person, Nancy DeTetra. And we did make contact. We had at least four, maybe five different connections. Yeah, it was, and considering the circumstances, and you know, the bands played until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, so our observation was essentially between 2:30 and maybe 4 o'clock, and we were lucky to get some good appearances and some stunts, and you know, I brought Nancy's book, How to Talk to an Alien. So,
What's her name again? Nancy what?
Nancy DeTetra.
Nancy DeTetra.
Yeah, and it was actually kind of funny because I I'm a follower of Tao and go with the flow. And I got to reunions early and then found my way to a place where they were doing interviews to record student histories and stories and things like that. And, you know, I end up coming in there and they end up asking me to give my story and why am I here. And I explained it all. And right at the end of the interview, the guy goes, "Hey, do you know Nancy DeTetra?" And I was like,
yeah,
she's coming tomorrow to do the CE5 with me. And this is like, well, how do you know her? And he goes, well, I did her interview like 5 years ago, but it seems like somehow that you guys should be connected.
Wow.
And we were connected the very next day.
This is beautiful, man. This book is How to Talk to an Alien. It says, can they speak our languages? Can they read our minds? And what are they trying to tell us?
Yeah, Nancy's a real, real professional at this. She graduated from Princeton the year after I did, and then she went to work as a psychic and as a seer. And she's actually, you know, she's the person that the police departments actually go to when they need, you know, to find bodies and to get psychic clues to solve cases. She's a fascinating, fascinating woman. Woman.
She is. She really is too, and she's a cutie. She's known as the skeptical psychic. So that's always good to have a skeptic.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But listen, this is the book, How to Talk to an Alien, and these are the short reviews from George Norrie, who's one of my favorite guys on Gaia and Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie says, a fantastic read. Nancy's new book, How to Talk to an Alien, takes ufology to a whole new level. She makes the strong case that if aliens can shut down our nuclear defense systems and abduct human beings, we better learn how to communicate with them, and fast.
Yep, and we started communicating out there on June 2nd and 3rd.
Really?
Yes.
Really, wow. Well, my heart and my mind was with you guys in a really, really big way that evening. That's when Pamela got to town with the truck, and I was loading stuff. And, you know, when you're just doing, like, robotic chores, I knew you were up there. And I was sending that energy out.
Well, you know, on the way up, I actually stopped off in Zebulon, North Carolina, to see a friend of mine of 61 years. Pete was we grew up together, and he was actually the kid that showed me how to get out of a playpen. That's how far back we go. It's like I still remember it. But
wow!
But he was a skeptic too. And then I got up there late, about 11 o'clock, and woke him up because I was expected up there about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and then we cooked some steaks and had a couple beers, and I was ready to go. Okay, we can do this tomorrow night. And I said, wait a minute, hey, why not try it tonight? Let me teach you how to do this, and so a little bit better when we do it again tomorrow night. So we did the CE5 meditation. And excuse me, about 7 or 8 minutes later, all of a sudden, in the sky under Virgo, we had a major occurrence.
Really?
Light craft was, kept on going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It lasted about 7 or 8, 9 seconds, and then disappeared, and then shot over to the skies to the west, and then did a very similar acrobatic, but instead of zooming north to south, it went east to west, and then did that for about 7 or 8 seconds, and then disappeared. It was the same craft that you know that Rose and I had come in. Same kind of craft. I don't know if it was the same one, but it was the same thing. You know, Peter, you know, had the omniscience or the precognition that it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that there was a spiritual connection, which is always a dead giveaway.
Sure.
It happened to us both. And, you know, Peter is, you know, not a believer anymore. He's an experiencer. And it was a major event for somebody who does this for the first time. So they were happy to see him, and he was open to it. And, you know,
beautiful.
Good things happened.
Beautiful. When's the next CE5 over here?
Well, looks like we're going to be doing one on the 24th.
Okay.
So that's coming up. And then we also, you know, on my way back, we had another CE5 a few nights ago. We had a craft come in from from cancer, and came in, and then after about 7 or 8 seconds, stopped and gave a nova, and then shot off at 120 degrees from the X axis.
Wow!
Yeah, so it was pretty major stuff, and a couple of my students. And not even my students, but friends of ours. We had, Nancy and we had Beth have their experience before I left.
Wow!
They had seen 6, and they had, you know, they were to attend our next CE5.
Right.
But we gave them a little bit of coaching, and they're kind of mellow people anyhow.
Sure. Yeah.
And then another one of my, I would say, students had a sighting a few weeks ago, just before the Princeton occasion, and they appeared over her backyard when she was teaching somebody else how to do it, and she said they got so close you could almost touch them.
Whoa.
So it's all been good, all been positive and all been
good. I tell you, you know. And so why do you want to waste your time being rude to human beings when you can actually communicate with extraterrestrials?
Right, and you got to be mellow.
You got to be mellow. Yeah. I'm sure that's the attitude they're looking for.
Right.
Because, you know, every depiction of aliens, especially grays, they seem to be very slow moving and deliberate. They're not frantic, jumping around, you know, wild men from Borneo.
Sounds style. Like a DO I used to work for. He used to move very deliberately when he moved. I was like, geez, are you okay?
Yes, I am placing my foot in front of the other.
So, no, I'm a Buddhist.
That's it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Lutopia podcast. I'm Lou Angel Wolf, Michael Merberg, Chris Gorgeous is here. The topic of today is dealing with rudeness. And so far we've covered the road rage part of it. But I notice a lot of times... you know, if I have the wherewithal, if I'm in the right place in my head, you know, I'll find somebody that's being rude, and I can disarm them. You can disarm them with something as simple as a compliment,
mm-hmm.
or you know, I mean, or just a little an understanding. You know, you don't want to start a fight, but you kind of want to diffuse the situation. And I've seen enough Denzel Washington movies to know that when you go into negotiations, you don't go in all aggressive and threatening. You come in like a friend. And what I say you're waiting on like slow food service and somebody's getting rude. And I'll say something like, we're both standing there and the guy will be, oh, yeah, we're waiting.
Sounds like Tasmanian Devil.
That him. That's him. He can't get his food fast enough at Culver's. And so,
what's the hold up?
And I'll say, yeah, man, that's a pain in the neck, isn't it, standing around here? But I say, and I always say, but as long as they cook it right, the couple minutes was worth it to me. And you say something like that, and they're like, no, because really, you know, and in people's haste, especially like in the fast food world, if they're too fast and you drive away and your order's wrong, you're like, man, I wish I'd have waited another 3 seconds and let that guy put my fries in here.
Right.
So, you know, it's... French fries.
What about when somebody's being rude to somebody else right in front of you, and you know that the person is the one that's being rude, but for some reason they're like this other person? You know, what do you do then? Stay out of it,
what you do is you maybe you can just use kindness and interject and say, "Look, how can I help you guys?"
Yeah, hey.
You know,
yeah. Well, Mike, you're kind of a gentle giant mediator guy. I mean, you've done a lot of that stuff in your life with your
professional certified mediator.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So you can defuse some rude people, I'm sure.
Yep. Yep.
And you can also hire Michael Services. He's available at disabilityattorney.net. That's disabilityattorney.net. Man, you just do fantastic work and lots of it. And very, very proud to be your buddy.
Thanks, man.
Hope I don't need your services.
Nah, you just never know. But you know. By the time you get to me, I'm your last resort. So hopefully you don't get here.
But, so I think what happens is when people are getting very rude is they've gotten to their world gets small. I say that to people all the time. I go, don't let your world get small.
It's about selfishness, Lou. They get selfish.
Yeah, it
they're
is.
They're only concerned on how they feel about everything.
It's all ego driven. Yeah.
And they're not concerned about how it's affecting the other person or any of that.
Oh, yeah. And I remember years ago, I was at a BMW dealership back in the parts department. I was picking up some parts for a car. And this lady with a new hot rod haircut and brand new. I mean, she just looked she was a little BMW, convertible owner or whatever. And they ordered some special order cocoa floor mats for her car.
Oh, okay. Cocoa.
The cocoa kind.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like tan isn't good enough.
No. This is an actual a weave floor mat. I mean, they've been $200 for 20 years. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'd like the 99% cocoa.
That's right.
Right. Well, the one that they gave her was in coffee flavor. Coffee.
Oh my goodness.
Coffee.
Are you shitting me right now?
Oh, really?
I'm not kidding you.
The nerve.
The cocoa mat was. The one they tried to hand her was coffee colored.
The balls on those people.
I know.
You'll have this coffee, man.
I know.
That's
and
not
she
what
says,
I ordered.
I distinctly ordered the wheat colored ones. Wheat.
Wheat or,
not,
or cocoa?
Not coffee. Wheat.
Oh, what am I in? Starbucks?
Jeez. And she was so mean to the parts guy.
And what does that even matter? It's a floor mat.
It's a floor mat.
You put your feet on it. It's going to be coffee. If you order wheat, it's going to be coffee in 3 weeks.
It's like, it doesn't give you a license to make a doormat out of the guy standing behind a parts counter. You know?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
How compartmentalized is your life? Or that's like an issue for you.
Well, she needs him to get to church on Sunday, for crying out loud.
And I gave her a smoldering stare, and it was like, it shut her up a half degree.
Yeah, because that's what I'm talking about right there. You gave a smoldering stare, but I asked the question before because I was in a situation where a woman, obviously, I watched her come in and barrel through this lobby of this place. And then when she tried to jump the line, and this guy came out and said, who's next? And the woman that had been waiting said, I'm next. The rude woman was like, no, I'm next. And he turned into a huge thing, and she started berating this other woman. And I'm like, I finally had to say something. I said, look, I'm sorry, I've been standing here. She was next. You're being rude right now.
Right.
I could not contain myself. It's the first time and the only time in my whole life I've ever done that. But I thought, how dare you come barreling in here?
Yeah.
And she was in such a hurry, dude, that she brought the display grill from the lobby, thinking it was her grill being delivered, and tried to walk out the door. That's how much of a rush she was.
Ooh.
To not even know that her grill wasn't up there yet. Let's just be patient.
She was on dope.
No, she's just a rude, pushy, shovey person who doesn't give a shit about other people that have been staying there.
Did you quake a little bit inside when you confronted her?
A little bit, yeah, because it's a little unnerving.
The shit was going to go down, maybe?
Well, no, not the shit go down, but here's the thing. You gave that woman a smoldering look to let her know you're being a little douchey right now. I couldn't have given her. She wasn't paying attention to me, so I had to say something. Well, but then she tried to get other people on her side, like, oh, you see how she is? You see how she's being? And I'm like, look, lady, stop. You're the one that came in here.
This is why I go to Walmart at 2 a.m.
This was at Sears, actually. I was picking up. It was where you go pick up things that you've ordered. And we're waiting there for our pickups. And they were busy.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys were running their asses off. I'm like, come on. So is that wrong that I did that? Do some people need a nudge to say, hey, look at yourself right now. Is it okay? Or are you being rude for saying, hey?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
because so far you guys are like, give him a compliment. I'm not giving that bitch a compliment if she's being like that. I'm sorry. You look nice today, but you're being a dick. Let me just say that.
Hey, nice dick.
No, but I mean just in general. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to be nice to somebody like that when they're just berating and just trying to manipulate everybody around them negatively. Yeah.
I get it. Believe me. It irks me on the inside. I don't like it.
I felt so bad for that lady. She said that too. I was like, that's awful. That's just awful.
Well, you know, there's a lot of degrees of stupidity around that. And you get stupidity blended in with some ego, blended in with some impatience. And you, like we said, you also don't know the day that lady was having too. You know, it really is. I mean, it really is. Maybe. That old saying, you know, you think you got problems, go next door.
She's buying a grill. I don't know how bad her life is at that moment. But
well, maybe she was supposed to buy the grill a week ago and everybody's already gathering at the house and she has no grill.
I think that's what it was, actually. I think she said something like she's had to get there. But you know what? That's piss poor planning on your part, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how does that? What does that have to do with the lady that's waiting in line? Nothing.
That's true.
Who knows? Maybe that lady's husband died a week ago. I don't know what the hell. You know
I'm
what
not
I mean?
Baiting. I'm not debating the reality of it.
No, I got you.
Yeah.
I just felt like if I didn't say anything, it just goes by. She leaves, and she never knows how rude she was to somebody. Like, nobody stands up for that woman at all.
Yeah. Well, right? You did the right thing there, Sir Galahad.
No, I just... all right. Whatever. Yeah, I'm a rabble-rouser. That's me.
Smacking down middle-aged ladies with barbecue grills.
Yeah, I just wanted my mattress. You know, I just didn't want the you know.
Chris is thinking in his mind, my gun's coming in the mail.
Nope. Never, ever.
I know.
Well, there's a scene from the movie Hannibal where Cuba Gooding Jr. gets waylaid by, you know, Hannibal Lecter himself, and he gets a knife and holds it to his neck, and he has to admit that there's no such thing as control of a situation, and it's all an illusion, and these are what these people do. So, you know, whenever I see something like that, I kind of wish I could play Hannibal for them and watch the Cuba Gooding scene and have them realize that, hey, you keep this up, you may just have a knife by your throat.
Well, there's that, too. When you're being rude to somebody, you don't know what kind of day they've had, and maybe they snap at that point. You push them right over the edge.
Right.
Okay, what about this?
Here's
a new thing.
All right.
Okay. How about this guy in Orlando last week that came in and opened fire at work and killed, what, 6-7 people? Did you see that one?
I think so.
Yeah, there was a guy in...
Disgruntled employee.
Disgruntled employee got fired back in April.
Right.
Comes back. And
I remember that,
you know, and here's what I'm saying, though. So obviously the guy's some kind of disjointed employee. But you know what? Somewhere along the line, somebody was rude to him. OK, whether it was, you know, whatever, even if he was out of hand, the rudeness was exchanged. I can almost tell you that because it gave him something to go home and smolder about, something to go home and concentrate on. Because, you know, he got offended. And, of course, one of the four agreements is don't take anything personally. Just don't take it personally. It's not about you. When there's somebody being rude and angry and anxious in your presence, chances are it's not about you. It's something inside of them that's making them act that way. And then here's this guy that obviously takes it to the absolute worst degree. Possible, you know, to come back and seek revenge, and now he's ruined his life, and his life is over. But he killed his boss and all them secretaries, and
yeah, the guy who sold him the gun shouldn't have been so nasty to him.
Yeah, that guy making me wait 48 hours.
Get out of here, crooked head man.
That was take those bullets with you.
Yeah, he called me crooked head. Well, that is it. Yeah. What if? The people, but sometimes, you know, you do. Sometimes people react because you're the way you are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, some people, I like that rule because it gives you a place to be at peace with whatever's happening. But at the same time, you know, I know that in my past I've affected other people and they reacted specifically to that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I put that out and I didn't realize at the time, and then I kind of came around and I got a whiff of it, and I'm like, oh, okay. I had to back off a little bit on the way I was acting.
Well, let's spin it back a half an ounce here. Not as far as the shooting goes in the one guy's case there.
Mm-hmm.
But how about the did you see that drunk chick on the
the woman that worked local news.
She worked the local news.
She got kicked out of a comedy club
and
ooh, she went crazy out on
the
sidewalk.
She was the rudest thing that I'd seen in a long time.
I've seen 100 of her, dude.
Oh, I have too.
I saw her at McCurdy's like a year ago, and I was there. Same woman. Beth was there that night. The woman was in the lobby. you guys are all assholes.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Awful. Excuse me. I don't speak liquorese.
Drunkenese.
That's where you can throw all the stock lines and the little insulting shurikens. And the crowd loves it when you're harpooning those people.
Well, but and again, it goes back to the thing. As comics, we have to deal with it. Those people always get offended that you had the nerve to say, hey, can you keep it down a little bit?
Yeah.
And I've been polite to them to where it escalates to where you're like, hey, shut the boop. You know, come on. Yeah. Don't make me be rude to you, but come on. You have to know that you're being disruptive. It has to be obvious to you at this point.
Yeah. Well, when I actually have a conversation with the heckler, I'll say something. Hey, you know, I'm just trying to work up here. And, you know, I'll tell you what, though. This is all about fun and games, so let's play a game. Let's play the shut the fuck up game. You go first.
And if you lose, you get to come up here and finish my set.
Yeah. And I've unleashed on some hecklers before, man.
You and me both, dude.
I just come off the top rope on them bitches.
I had a woman say to me a couple of months ago, she said, you can't say whatever you want. And I said, yeah, actually, I can. This is the last bastion of that. This is where it happens right here. I can pretty much, they gave me the microphone, they paid me, and they said, say what you want. So you're mistaken.
This is what you want. This is what you get.
She was this a is bitch. What you want. She, this is what and you she get. Had been into it with somebody next to him. And people, I think it's the alcohol, brings out those people that feel entitled. But as far as rudeness goes, because you're getting to the almost, do you think, because this question has been posed to me and unsolicited in the past like 6 months, do you think that this election has emboldened people to be more rude to each other?
Nah.
You haven't seen that? Mike, have you seen that?
Well, I do know that it's caused more marriages to fail than in any other election. I think that's becoming a statistic at this point.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
I just feel like people are more willing to say whatever they want, whatever's on their mind, either on social media. I've seen videos where people are saying just horrible things. Right? Have you noticed it, Lou?
Well,
because I've noticed it.
And maybe I have noticed that Facebook has taken a turn. It's more rude than it was.
It's going the way of Twitter, isn't it?
Yeah, and really, to be honest with you, I'm not caring about any of it anymore. And the way they limit you, I used to use Facebook because I could put 60, 80, 90 people in a comedy club because I was blasting it on Facebook to my 5,000 friends. Well, now I find out that you're only getting exposure to about 10% of your friends, and you have to do this, like, you have to really play the game. You have to be spending money with the promotions and this and that. If you're a freebie guy, you sit with the freebie guy, you know, but if you're paying for your lap dances, you know, you get all the exposure you want. But, but I am noticing that that the people are... just in this last year, they are more rude. I mean, especially with political things, from both sides, you know, the conservative side and the liberal side or the Republican side or the Democrat side. They're all very, very salty. And to be honest with you, it's like on both sides, I go, God, you know how immature you sound with these things. It's almost like na 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 na, you know, that kind of thing. It's really there's some rudeness. There's a rudeness crew growing.
Yeah, and they're delusional anyway. If you think that politics is going to really change anything, or you're going to change anything in politics, it's not going to happen the way the system's set up. It's we're, you know, in the middle of this great stage of empire, and you know, money talks, and everybody else squawks. You know,
sure.
So what do we do about the rudeness, Lou? What's the solution to the rudeness?
The solution to the rudeness is right there in the pacifist riot, ladies and gentlemen. You gotta. What's happening is if you're to a point in your ideology where you're being rude and you're being harsh to people, you're missing the point. Okay, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be caring, loving, forgiving, understanding, all those great virtues that you like in other people. You need to tune those up for yourself, because that's how you find your inner peace, your inner happiness. You know, very, very, I've seen very, very few rude people at meditation sessions when you're sitting in church. People aren't so rude then. But what you have to do is you kind of got to calm down. Quit taking yourself so seriously. Don't take all this crap personally. Always do your best. Do all the stuff that the four agreements tell you to do. And coming up next week is our 100th show. Or very soon, the 100th show. It's next week. Yeah. And so this is 98. We're going to do 100, then we're going to do 99 after that. And we had a rain out. And but we're having Don Jose Ruiz on next week.
Well, you know, technically we could call the part of the show that we cut out.
That'd be the 99.
Give it 99. So we can just keep it.
I think it was about 99 seconds long.
Yeah.
It was helter skelter.
That was awesome.
It was awesome in a bad way. But in a good way.
Did.
It was kung fu. So, and of course, I believe he's the author of The Fifth Agreement, and we're going to have him on next week, and so I am really going to...
He's the son of the Four Agreements
author.
He's
the son of Don Miguel Ruiz. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a nice interview with him, and Beth Snyder is going to be in studio next week.
That's exciting. So it'll be the three of you.
The three of us all at once.
I can do that. I can set that up.
Yeah.
I want to thank Beth also for coming out to the improv. I was there with Gary Conrad. I had a quick set, but I think Beth enjoyed me having to help out Gary Conrad. I was helping out the hypnotist, and it got a little weird up there. It was quite interesting. But
did you get hypnotized?
No, I didn't do it. No, he just had me basically a wrangler to make sure people didn't fall. They got a little sliver of a stage up there, man.
It is very, a small stage.
It's very dangerous. Yeah. So, yeah, at one point I had a chick like passed out in my lap, and yeah, she thought
oh,
I was,
like that's never happened.
She thought...
Sounds like high school.
Not like that, brother. She thought I was a pillow. So it was. Yeah. We had a good time. It was fun. And Beth came out with her partner. What's her partner's name?
Nancy.
Nancy. It's her wife, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nancy was with her. Very nice. Didn't get. They had to leave because they had to drive out to Sarasota. But thank you, Beth, for coming out. And
yeah, they're beautiful people.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking. I'll be in McCurdy's at the end of June, and then again in August. So hopefully you guys can come out, and I'll be featuring.
Well, you know, the family is growing, and you know, we're all super busy in our lives, but the main purpose is still moving forward. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't thank you enough. I mean, I'm just surrounded by love wherever I go. I look up at the sky because I guess I'm trained to look up when I'm trying to address some greater deity than myself. And I dare not complain about a thing. You know, I've got my health. I've got the ability to work. I've got this family here, my own personal, my blood family. and I'm just blessed beyond anything. I mean, I really can't believe how happy my life is right now. And, you know, and I got to tell you, you know, I wrote that Pacifist Riot 2 years ago. Two summers ago. And when I wrote it, I actually had the idea. I go, you know, whoever, I said, I really hope somebody really gets this. And I really hope someone understands what I'm trying to say. And that's what actually brought Pamela and I together was she read it and she says, I want to meet the guy that wrote that. And I can't tell you as an artist and as a writer what that means. I mean, it blows me away. And, you know, I so enjoy doing this show. I so very much look forward to it every week. And ladies and gentlemen, you can catch it every week on the IRN Broadcast Network, Podomatic, YouTube, iTunes, and, of course, the mothership, Lutopia.com. And, Michael, you'd be interested to hear, I hosted a rock and roll show on Sunday over at Sutherland Park in Palm Harbor. And the band Jericho Turnpike and the Greg Billings Band, who used to be Stranger, and the Black Honkies, which are all fantastic West Florida bands. And I got to read the Pacifist Riot to, I don't know, 1,000 people.
Why didn't cool. Did anybody film that? Should have had somebody film that.
I know. But I got a lot of nice compliments on it, and of course I got the one old biker dude going, hey, man, some Muslim comes up to you and points his gun at your head. I'm going, dude, it isn't about that. I go, you missed it.
Yeah.
I go, you missed it. Here's a copy of it.
Yeah, whatever. Where's the beer tent? That's what I really want to know. Yeah.
And I said, sir, I understand that. And it may come to that. It may come to, you know, some big final war. But what I'm telling you is we need to plant that seed of love early and often because that's what makes it grow. And we can't be afraid to outwardly love. And just send your prayers out to wherever they may land, wherever they're needed.
Well, you know, you say the word love. You know, it's interesting to note that that the Eskimos have 32 different words for snow. And we only have, like, one word for love. There's a couple, maybe charity and other things. But, you know, there's so many different nuances of kinds of love. And I think we really need to start inventing different words that nuance the word love a little bit better.
Yeah, amor.
Amor. Well, you know, there's a whole bunch of different kinds. Maybe we should set about that task ourselves
yes.
for a future show.
We're going to rename. We're going to come up with our own love connection. Well, We modified awesome, and now everything's kung fu level.
Kung fu.
Yeah. So love, which is the big mountain, you know, that's the big mountain of expression.
Or the big valley.
or the big valley of loneliness. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the show. I'm Lou Angel Wolf. Chris, good show, man. Nice job.
Yeah, it was good. Worked out. Glad we started over.
Once we got the sound moving, it was pretty good. and Michael, welcome home.
Good to be back. Thank you.
Good to see you, buddy. And ladies and gentlemen, next week, show number 100. Show number 100 with Don Jose Ruiz, the son of Don Miguel Ruiz, and a famous author with the whole Four Agreements and the Fifth Agreement and lots of great, great books in that genre. So we invite you back next week. It's a big rocker. And Isaac, I hope you listen to the show all the way over there in Israel. And he's having a great time. He's loving it. He says, the food's delicious and the women are beautiful.
Have a blast, man.
Yeah. See other places. And Pamela, welcome to town, my dear. And I love you. And I hope... you know, I hope all of our dreams come true. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Lutopia Podcast. I'm Lou Angel Wolf on behalf of Mike Burberg, Chris Gorgeous, and missing in action tonight, but back in a big way next week, Beth Snyder, our co-host out in Sarasota. She has BethSnyderHypnosis.com, and they also own the Om Shop, a beautiful metaphysical shop in Sarasota. So we thank you for visiting our little love nest. And we're going to roll on, and we'll be back next week in a big way. So don't be rude. Be kind. Life's too short to be rude. Good night.